Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us tonight. Good evening, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight for another in the series of, oh my goodness sakes alive, that is just amazing. Another in the series of establishing your faith, walking with God every single day of our life. Thank you for being here with us. Tonight we're going to talk about infallible proofs, because if you were living 2,000 years ago, Jesus would have been showing infallible proofs to everyone about who he is and what he's doing. I have a teaching by Brother Amir Sarfati about this generation will not pass away. Now, it is Jesus preaching about infallible proofs before he left. And so we're going to be in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. All three of them talk about the Olivet Discourse that Jesus taught. We're going to kick that live, and then we'll come back when we're finished, and we will share with you many more verses of Scripture about the infallible proof of God, Jesus, being alive and well. He revealed himself to his disciples so that everyone would know who he is and what he's doing, and that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so here we go. Without any more ado, we got everything up and running, and it's running good. So I'm just going to kick this live. This is going to be a great teaching. You're going to thoroughly enjoy it. It's about 45 minutes. So, as is always the case with Brother Amir, make sure you got a piece of paper and a pen, and just see if you can write down all of these verses this man gives us on this. But thank God we get to hear it out of the mouth of a man who not only is a member of the tribe of Judah, but he's a born-again member of the tribe of Judah, and a very, very well-studied Bible scholar. Thank you, Father. We receive this teaching from you now. Bless all of our brothers and sisters that join us. Here we go. Infallible proofs from our Lord Jesus.
Battery 70%.
Gotta get all the technologies up and running. Here we go.
Samuel Cotteless iPhone.
Get all the right ones connected, all the wrong ones disconnected. One more statement we got to make here. There we go.
I'm always confused.
And Ezekiel's right.
Amazing. Cannot be the way to. Thank you.
Stands for a yeah.
Yeah.
5 armored That's Samuel.
Manner of sin, but
your cancer is historic in Israel.
amen. And amen. And amen. And thank you, Brother Amir, for that teaching. That is amazing. Now, those of you that were with us on YouTube, I'm not sure what happened, but it had something to do with there is something that happened. I can't tell you. But I'm going to kick it back on and show back up. So evidently, YouTube didn't like us sharing his video. There's no copyright on it. I checked it and double-checked it and triple-checked it, but that's all right. That's more than likely what that's all about. So if you would like to be on YouTube, you're welcome to be there. If you want to be with us on this side, you can do that too. That's interesting. It says it's still running. Everybody just pause a minute. Let me take a look over here and see what we got. You with us tonight? Good evening, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. All right, that one did end, so I'm not quite sure what that's all about. But you can go back there if you want, Roger. We're going to talk about infallible proofs now. And let's just see how long it takes us to get this set back up. Brother Dan, anybody, guys, that was on Zoom, you got something you want to say about what we just learned? I think that was an excellent teaching. Probably one of the best I've heard on this.
I plan on watching it again myself because I got up to go eat once and that kind of stuff, you know, and I might as well just watch the whole thing again and again.
Amen.
He says a lot that I already knew and a lot that I didn't know. I might as well watch that a few times.
Well, we all, what happened here? I better stay focused. We all, of course, we said, you know, generations, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 60 years, 70 years. People have said all kinds of things. I think the last one I heard was 70. But I like the statement that he made. A generation is a group of people watching a specific situation. And come on now. You know, there's a lot of people today that watched us get telephones in our house and then have watched the telephones disappear from our house and arrive in our pocket. And that generation of people, some of them are still with us. They watched that situation happen. Well, I'm not of the generation that watched Israel become a nation. But there's a lot of people who are a part of that generation. Here you go, Roger. It should be live now. There we go. Welcome back, YouTube. Good to have you with us. Not quite sure why we were kicked off there on that one, but it'll be all right. We'll learn, and we'll do the right thing. So thank you for being with us. And if you didn't get a chance to enjoy that message with us, we can get you the link. What the name of that is, This Generation Shall Not Pass Away. And that is from Amir Safadi. It's a really good, very simple teaching. And it's good to be a part, you know, to study that. So, yeah, we are live again on YouTube. And welcome back, everybody. Now, I want us to look at that because I like to talk about the infallible proofs of God every year. And this is very interesting because, so just let's just start. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, and we'll just read our same verses we've been reading all along. And then we'll just keep heading right out into this thing where God wants us to be. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 1 through 3. Acts 1, 1 through 3. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, so Jesus, when he was on this earth, was anointed by the Holy Spirit and power. That's how he lived. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit and power. And that being the case, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So now that Jesus is on the other side of the resurrection, look at what it says. He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, hold your finger there real quick, and let's just look at it. Romans chapter 8. Now, I know those of you that are part of our program, you're on this regularly, but we always got new people that's with us. So I want to make sure we show them this verse of scripture. Romans 8, 11. Thank you, Jesus. Looks like the sunset tonight is Jesus coming back. Make sure your ears are cleared out good so you can hear the trumpet blow. That is amazing sunset. Sister Leanne, I see you're with us. She didn't get a picture of that. Wow. Amazing. Romans 8:11, look at this. But if, and we change the but if to since once we're born again, since the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The Holy Spirit who had anointed Jesus, that same Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and that same Spirit has given life to your mortal bodies. That is your physical body, flesh. Since the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, dwells inside of you, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to be giving you resurrecting power. Now, I know there's a lot of people who have embraced this doctrine and said, wow, yes, amen, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. And then in a matter of a period of time, they no longer embrace it because some religious demon indoctrination got them to look at that and say, well, that can't, who do you think you are being anointed like Jesus? Well, I am exactly what the Bible says I am. And you listen to people tell you to go away from the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then all of a sudden you got to start saying, well, okay, I know it's in the Bible, but that's just not a doctrine for today. And that one's not a doctrine for today. And that's not a doctrine for today. And what do they begin to teach you to do? They begin to teach you to live a nominal, not accounting for anything, not amounting for anything, life. Why? Because they're afraid to enter into the things of God. They were challenged by God to enter in and chose not to. And if you will, I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 13, all right? And let's look at this. Look what Jesus said. Matthew 13, I got to get you the verse, but I'll get it. Matthew 13, and that's going to be verse number 14. Jesus is telling his disciples why they he teaches in parables. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear, but you will not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull. Their ears have become hard of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed their eyes. Now, you can't look at Jesus and say, why am I not getting a revelation? If you've allowed your ears to become dull and you've closed your eyes to truth. Now, just because you heard somebody preach a message about the truth of God's word one day does not mean you actually got everything about it. It just doesn't mean it. Every word of God is so filled with life and blessing and strength and revelation that many of those revelations, you're going to have to spend some serious amount of time digging into them, saying them, meditating on them, thinking about them, dwelling on them, going back and reading it again, so that revelation can get down deep inside of your life. Well, I'm back now to Acts chapter 1, verse number 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. So God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. And the Holy Spirit was on him his whole life. The Holy Spirit empowered him to pay the price. The Holy Spirit was in him when he went to hell and dropped all of sin and wickedness and perversion there. And the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. Wait, the same Holy Spirit that you and I are filled with, and we're going to see in just a minute, Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And what is that? Holy Spirit power. Let's keep reading. And he gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Here's what we got to study tonight. God wants Jesus. God wants you to be able to see the things of Jesus. He wants you to see the things of Jesus. Now, it's very, very interesting that after his death, Jesus made a point to reveal himself to people. So go with me. Let's read John chapter 20. Now, I'm going back a little bit, but we're talking about an infallible proof, okay? So, let's go down here. Let me real quick grab another verse of scripture here. Let's see. Mark, hold your place in Act 1. Hold your place in John 20. And let's actually go to Mark 16. Mark 16. Matthew, Mark 16. Now the Sabbath was passed. I'm in 16:1. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. That wasn't the right verse. 16:9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Now, having read that, let's go back to John chapter 20. And let's look at Jesus showing this infallible proof to Mary Magdalene first. Remember, the first person Jesus revealed himself to was Mary Magdalene, whom he had cast out seven devils. Seven devils. Let's read it. No matter how many of you men want to say something about women telling the story of the gospel, Mary Magdalene was the first one to tell the story of Jesus is risen. A woman out of whom had been cast seven devils because she was a prostitute. John 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early. You always want to get up early and be with Jesus. While it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, she ran and came to Simon Peter, to the disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. All right? She ran and told Peter and John. All right? 3. Peter therefore went out, and John, and they were going to the tomb. They both ran together, and then John, the other disciple, outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Why do you got to have a competition, boys? And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. So Jesus not only came out of the grave and out of that, you know, wrapped up in that form he was wrapped up in, he folded the linen headcloth. He folded it and sat it on the tomb, on the stone, the tombstone. 8. Then the other disciple came to the tomb first one in. Also, and he saw and believed. So John's saying, Peter didn't believe, but I did. Interesting, the Holy Spirit wanted this in the Bible, but it's okay. 9. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. Now watch. But Mary stood outside this tomb. So Mary was at the garden first, ran and got Peter and John. They ran back to the tomb, and she ran back again. She must have been quite the athlete. She was a marathon runner. So now Peter and John are in bewilderment. They're just in bewilderment. They're gone back to their house. And so now here sits Mary at the tomb. Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. You can only imagine the fear and the confusion that's going on in their life. And when she saw, and she saw two angels while sitting, one sitting at the head of the other, goodness sakes, while sitting. And she saw two angels in white sitting, goodness sakes alive. One at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary, like only Jesus could speak Mary's name. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, or teacher. Jesus said, do not cling to me. Obviously, she ran to hug him. For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go tell my brethren and say to them, he tells her what to say. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now, it doesn't say right there that Mary said he's risen, but Mary's the first one to tell the gospel that Jesus was alive and well. Jesus was alive and well. Now, think about this. Let's go back. Hold your place there in John 20. And let's just turn a couple pages, Acts chapter 1. I want you to see this because I want every one of us to be asking God every day, reveal yourself to me by an infallible proof that I can see with my eyes what it is you are doing on this earth. Now watch. I'll tell you a story about that from our Resurrection Sunday. Verse 2, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. Now, think about this fact. Jesus not only doesn't have a problem with infallible proofs, he was determined to show them to his disciples. He was determined to show them to them. And the only one that stayed at the tomb was Mary. Let's just say it. You and I got to be the ones that's going to stay at the tomb. Not out of some gnarly Christianese kind of thing, but determined that we can see his face. Because when we can see his face, then we can have the blessing of God and his manifest presence on our life so that we can go out into this world and see the lost one to him, see miracles, signs, and wonders happen, and be able to say, I have an infallible proof in my own life of what God has done for me. You don't have to turn there, but you can. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, is the great faith verse that says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let's speak it conversely. With faith, it is possible to please him. For he who comes to God, and you and I have, must believe that he, God, is, that he exists. And that he, God, is the one who rewards those who diligently seek him. With faith, it is possible to please him. So why is Jesus revealing himself to them? Because he wants to build their faith that everything he told them all through their that ministry of 3.5 years is now coming to pass right in front of their eyes. And it's an infallible proof. Listen, do you have somebody in your family that's struggling with the things of God? Pray for them every day to have a dream and vision, according to Job chapter 33, verses 14 through 18. Pray for them to have a dream and vision. Bless you, Rebecca and Roger and Brother John. We love you guys. Now, go with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. Of course, now we know, excuse me just a minute. Now we know that the Apostle Paul was after Pentecost and after the gospel began to be spread. Then God met Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and messed up his day, gave him the opportunity to go to Jesus immediately and or be judged immediately. And Saul of Tarsus said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he was converted. And now Saul has turned to Paul and he's writing letters to the churches. Look at this one. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." Now just stop and get that revelation. When we are born again and we're baptized, we're buried with him in baptism, and then we're raised to new life. All right? Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." In other words, I have laid my life on the altar. I've laid my life down for him. I've made him the Lord. He is my Savior. And therefore, now I'm filled with his righteousness. I'm a new creation. I'm a minister of reconciliation. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And he wants me to be a king and a priest unto God. So Paul says here, by the Holy Spirit, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that's this mortal body, me, the life I'm living right now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. One translation says in the Son of God. Another one says of the Son of God. Now watch. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, lives inside of you and inside of me. Have you just come to the kingdom and new here and you're like, everything's new? I encourage you, write these verses down. Come back and listen to it again. Sister Rebecca's putting verses in over here for us. Acts chapter 1, Jesus is showing these guys infallible proofs. Why? So they will come to the kingdom. And Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith. And he lives in you. Faith himself lives in you. Faith himself lives inside of you. Jesus The author and finisher of your faith lives inside of you. And Galatians 2:20 says, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. Now you got to get it. You got to get the picture. Mary didn't see Jesus. She ran to the disciples, Peter and John. They had a running match getting back. Peter went in first, then John went in. Peter didn't believe, but John did. And they left. And Mary stayed. And Jesus revealed himself to her in an infallible proof. The first person Jesus revealed himself to was not his 12 disciples. It was a woman disciple who came early and stayed when the others left. Why? Because she wanted to take care of the Lord. You want to know how to get somewhere in this kingdom? Not by having a loud mouth, not by having a quick wit, not by getting some kind of degree. Come early, stay late for the purpose of knowing our God. Your voice won't have to be heard. Your face won't have to be seen. You'll just manifest the presence of God. Every time you show up, he'll show up, and the presence of God will be strong. I know a lot of people who tried to talk a witness rather than just be one. And the reason they were having to talk a witness is because, in actuality, there was really no real conversion that had happened in their life. And therefore, they had accepted a religious dogma, a religious organizational structure for their Christian life. And that's not what it is. What makes anyone's voice a voice that people can listen and follow is that they know God and people are attracted to their life because they know God. I know a lot of preachers that get in the pulpit and scold the church because the church doesn't want to do anything and they're not always there. And and they scold and scold and scold. But in all reality, they teach dead fish. They don't have nothing new. They don't. They're given a message that came from somebody else. They don't have a new message. They don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and therefore, people don't stay. Usually, they're the ones that have to tell people, "You really want to know God, then you'll stay here with me." Well, I want to know God, but I want to know God from somebody that knows God. And not just because he says the words, I know God. See, it comes down to this relationship that you have with Almighty God, where you get real with God every single day of your life. When you think about it, not only was Jesus manifesting himself to them people, but like Brother Amir was saying in that video we just studied, when Israel became a nation, they had two jets and four tanks and 10,000 of soldiers who had no experience. They just got out of the prison camps. And every nation around them was fighting them. But see, it's never been about that with God. The one great leader, Jehoshaphat, or whoever it was, went out the next morning after the enemy showed up, and one angel had annihilated 180,000 people, five armies. One angel. And he gave glory to God. See, God wants to reveal himself to you and I as an infallible proof. Now, I'll tell you a quick story. Sunday, we got up and we did the sunrise service. And I thoroughly intended to come back out and minister at noon on Sunday. And we left the sunrise service, and Sister Leanne and I we had a great time there. And you know, we always want to reach more people than that, but it's okay. God will open that door when it's that time. So we're like, well, let's go get some breakfast. It's Easter Sunday morning. You know, it's Resurrection Sunday. So there's a place that is a breakfast bar, and we go in there. Well, man, they not only had a breakfast bar, but they had a Easter Sunday brunch, what they called it. And so it not only had eggs and bacon and sausage, but it also had mashed potatoes and gravy, ham and turkey. And it was pretty cool. And so we sat there and we was eating, and I was sending texts to all you guys, and you were sending texts, and we were all getting excited about our Resurrection Sunday morning. And came time to get the bill for our food. And I motioned the lady over. I said, we need to get her bill. And she's like, your bill has already been paid. I'm like, seriously? She goes, yeah, did you see that man and his daughter, his little girl that was sitting right over there? I'm like, yeah. They're like, they paid your food. They paid your bill. I'm like, seriously? And it got me. I'm the guy that always is doing that. And Sister Leanne and I will do that on a regular basis for people. Holy Spirit will say, buy that person's meal over there. So we'll do that. So it was pretty cool to have somebody else buy it for us. What was that on Resurrection Sunday to me? That was God saying, not only do I not have a problem with you being here having breakfast, but let me pay for it. So we did the natural thing that anyone would do. If somebody buys your breakfast, that's buy breakfast for somebody else. And so there's only two other couples that were there then. And there's two men were on this, but they already paid for theirs. And she said, well, this table hasn't paid. I'm like, all right, I'll buy theirs. She said, you know, every time this gets started, and it's very regular with me, it'll start about 7 o'clock in the morning. And it'll just do this all day long, people buying somebody else's meal. I'm like, are you serious? She goes, it happens all the time. I can start at 7 o'clock and it'll run till 4:30 at night. What is it? That's an infallible proof. God keeps showing that lady, there are a lot of good people in this earth and in this town, evidently. So, you know, we bought their meal and went out and was happy to be able to do it. And went on about our day. Well, we kind of drove DoorDash all day long, helping people get their Resurrection Sunday breakfast. And then about noon, it really slowed down. Well, what that means is everybody that went to church, they're out eating. They don't need you to bring food. So we kind of drove around out in the countryside and just had a good day together. And, you know, so it's about, 6 hours later, maybe seven. And I totally forgot about the program at noon. I got so caught up when that person bought our meal that I didn't even think. I was overcome by the fact, wow, somebody bought my meal. Of course, I saw it as a seed, so I shouldn't have been surprised. But watch this. We're at this little Chinese restaurant. And I'm like, let's get a menu and see if they got any sushi. I like sushi. And if you don't like sushi, try it. You'll probably like it, but maybe not. But anyways, I like sushi, and they had some on the bar, and so or on their menu, not on the bar, on their menu. So we were looking at that, and we got an order, and we went to Buffalo Wild Wings, pick it up and take it to somebody. And I'm sitting there with the menu in my hand, getting ready to make a phone call saying, I'm going to order some of this. And I was even going to order some for Sister Leanne so she could enjoy, even though she doesn't. And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't worry about it. I've got you a meal. And I'm like, well, isn't that interesting? And I'm still sitting there looking at the sushi, and I'm like, but I want sushi. Excuse me. So I even asked, I'm like, Lord, is it sushi? He goes, no, you're really not that picky, are you? I'm like, no, I'm not that picky. I'll take whatever you get me. Sister Leanne comes out, and She's got her order. She got another order while she was in there. We start driving and get to the first house and leave the order. And the guy calls back immediately and says, there's food here that's not mine. I didn't order it. And I'll set it outside the door. You guys come back and pick it up. So we went back and picked it up. Well, once that food leaves the restaurant, it can't go back. And we get to the next place and drop their food off. And literally, we had two really nice entrees of sampler, of their, you know, like an appetizer sampler. And it was God's seal that day saying, I not only got your first meal, thank you for buying the second, but I'm going to buy your meal now, and I'm going to take care of you. What was it? An infallible proof. An infallible proof. You might say, well, Pastor, that's real simple. Nobody even got saved. Nobody got saved, but it was truly spoke of a serious, serious statement to me and what's happening in our life, in the ministry, and the trucking business. And it spoke a very serious message to me. Why? By a simple, infallible proof. Now, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. Are you every day asking God to manifest himself? Are you doing that? Or are you just living life hoping maybe that something will happen someday somewhere, and if it doesn't, oh well, God doesn't. He's got a lot more busy things to do than me. But see, when you look at this and you read those verses in Hebrews 11, and then we can go on to a whole bunch of verses about it. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And nobody can judge your diligent search but you. Some people would say, Pastor, I probably study the Bible 6 hours a day. If you study the Bible 6 hours a day, it should produce 6 hours a day worth revelation, and there should be that many people being blessed and set free. Because remember, we don't do all of this that we do just so you can hear sermons. This isn't about hearing sermons. This is actually about taking the word of God and beginning to manifest it in your daily life so that you're not just a hearer of the word, but you're also a doer of the word. See, let's go get that. That is in the book of James. Isn't that something? The last time I started looking for this verse, I didn't see it. Don't just be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer of the word. Oh, that's, I'm not seeing that verse there because that wasn't James. That was Peter. That's probably why you're not going to see it. Isn't that something? Well, somebody help me find the verse. Isn't that something? I always think, that's it. I know exactly where that verse is. I know exactly where this verse is. Don't just be, there it is. James chapter 1. Okay, that's why I say chapter 2, because it's right above chapter 2. Thanks, Tim. James 1, 21 through 27. Let's read this. You say it at home where you are. Father, reveal yourself to me by an infallible proof of who you are. Reveal yourself to me by an infallible proof of who you are. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your soul. All right? Receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your soul. 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. What is it that God is expecting from you and I, but that we would actually take this word and become doers of it? You know what's greater than you and I having an infallible proof? Is somebody that we have spoken to and taught them to seek God comes back to us and tells us, I have had an infallible proof. I mean, it's really something. I like it when I get one. But more than when I get one is when I hear that you get it. And even greater than that is when you and I have heard this word, shared it with another, and we can see that they've got it. And God is manifesting his blessing and his life in their life. Think about this fact. You and I are born again for one purpose. And that is that we can begin to glorify God and take our testimony and go share it with somebody else and help them get that same blessing that we have and be born again and their sins be washed away and they be made a new creation and they become a minister of reconciliation. They become an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And the next thing you know, you're an epistle read of all men. Now, I know people who mock what I just said. They make fun of it. They laugh at it. They make jokes about it because they don't want anybody realizing, wait, I got to get this in my life. But here's the reality of this. Every one of us, every day, should be saying, God, where are you taking me to the next level? And show me an infallible proof that you're taking me there. And then he will take you there. And he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm in James chapter 2, or James 1, 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I actually know people who have made this statement, and they claim to be believers. I actually knew a believer, a Christian. I can't call him a believer, but a Christian that said this to me one day. Well, don't tell me anything. I'm a gossiper. I tell everybody everything that I'm told. And I'm like, well, that's not something that you should be bragging about as a believer, because that's one of those sins that'll land you in the lake of fire right next to homosexuality, sexual perversion, being a liar, a cheat, a thief. It's being a gossiper and a talebearer. It's being somebody who's always going about telling things about other people. That is just the biggest sin as a thief and a murderer. I know. You probably came to have more of a fun, hallelujah, let's just praise God and glorify God. But there comes a time in every ministry where you got to also deal with some issues here. And this is one of those issues. God said, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. That means get these verses off of this page and actually become it. If you think about infallible proof, I've been teaching on it now probably for about 4 days. Last Friday, last Saturday, talked about it Sunday some more, talked about it last night, talking about it tonight. We'll probably teach about it a couple more times. Why? So we get this thought process down inside of our life, and we're not just on this subject and then jumping over to that subject and then jumping over to another subject. We're on one subject, and we stay right there. And we keep hammering the same verses. Why? So they have the ability to get down inside and begin to produce life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. Now, I want to go back now to the book of John. So Mary Magdalene has come back to the disciples in verse 18 and told them she saw the Lord. 19. John 20, 19. Remember, these guys haven't seen Jesus yet. Mary said she saw him. But, I mean, that's a woman. Wait a minute. That's not how I feel. That might have been how they felt. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So what had they done? They all gathered at Andrew's or Peter's or somewhere. They gathered, and they were afraid for their lives. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace, be still." Isn't it good? Isn't it amazing that our Lord and Savior Jesus will come and stand in the midst of us? And when you see it and you're like, oh my, that he'll actually say to you, be at peace. Think about Peter. The sheet came down. God said, rise and eat. I ain't eating nothing in there. Sheet went back up. Sheet came back down. Rise and eat, Peter. I ain't eating nothing in that. The sheet went back up. Sheet come down the third time. Rise and eat, Peter. I ain't eating none of that. And God said, do not call unclean what I have called clean. What was that? A very major revelation helping Peter get over himself and his own religious prejudice that was trained into them by the law. I mean, a real Jew would not eat unclean meat. They will not do it. Why? Because that's what God said. Don't do it. I'm not going to do it. All our ancestors did it, and a bunch of them were a mess, and God wasn't proud of them, and I want God to be proud of me. And yet the third time, God said, hey, the things that I call clean, don't call unclean. What was this? This was an infallible proof to Peter to help him be ready and quick to receive the Gentiles. What was God doing? Not only was God taking the Holy Spirit into the Gentile world, but he was also helping the Jews to get over themselves and the severe prejudice that they had against any other nation. Now God told them, I've made you a nation unto yourself. I've set you high above all the nations of the earth. You'll be the head only and not the tail. You will be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Deuteronomy 28. So some of their superiority that they had came from the word of God, the law. But Jesus said to them, peace be with you. Peace. Shalom. Well, Jesus just walked through the wall. Like the one man of God says, that will cause you to have to deal with your insecurities. Huh. There's 11 of them. They're gathered together. Well, it wasn't 11. It must have been 10 because Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus walks into the room. You want to say it? Just say it right there in your own house. You just point to your room and say, Jesus, you're welcome to walk into this room anytime you want to. Anytime you want to. You might be saying, I don't want him to come anytime because there's sometimes I'm looking at stuff I shouldn't be. Well, then learn who you are in God, Learn what righteousness is and how you get it. And then let that righteousness get all the way down inside of your life so that there will not be one moment in your room that you won't be glad to welcome the Holy Spirit of God in to see what's on your computer or on your device. Why? He already sees what you're doing anyways. He already knows every post you made. He already knows every gossip you ever gossiped. He already knows every talebearer that you've ever talebeared. So there's no reason to hide it from him. And there's every reason to look at him and say, I receive your righteousness into my life, transforming me into who you want me to be. And he is not going to take a stick and beat you over the head. He's going to be glad you're chasing after him for righteousness' sake. He's going to be glad. Let's keep reading. I'm having trouble. I'm not having trouble. I'm just taking, my time getting through this one. 21. No, 20. Wait. Some of you saw them, those memes that came out last week that were selfie pictures of different figures in the Bible. Jesus didn't take a selfie picture with the disciples. He just took a real quick picture of their face when he walked in the room. You know how that is. Think about this. They are probably as afraid that night as they were when they saw Jesus come walking to them on the water. But what was Jesus walking on the water except an infallible proof? It is a supernatural, above the natural event that no human can do. It's God. Reveal yourself to me with an infallible proof. So, I'm back in John 20. Jesus said, peace be with you. Verse 20. And when he said this, he showed them his hand and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. When he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Right there's the verse that says, you and I in the right situation can look at someone like Jesus did and say, your sins are forgiven you. Be made whole. Or, be made whole. Your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. All of these are words that we heard our Jesus say as he went through his life. And you and I, when we see them infallible proofs, we will truly be able to look at these and say, thank you, Jesus, for an infallible proof in my life. And you won't need to tell my stories. Every one of you will have stories of your own. You'll have a story of your own of God's infallible proof to you and how he manifested in your life. 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, we saw the Lord. You know, when you missed that service with all of us, we saw the Lord. He said to them, unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And you got to know, Peter and a couple of them said, well, you're going to see it because it is real. We saw him. He stood right here in the room with us. After 8 days, don't be faithful. Don't be faithless and unbelieving. Because this event we're getting ready to read was 8 days after the first resurrection Sunday. Look what it says. His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be still," or "Peace to you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach forth your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Say this with me. I choose to believe in God. I choose to believe in God. Thomas, verse 28. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And every one of us who are a believer and have been born again, Jesus just called us blessed. Because even though we didn't see him, even though we don't necessarily even see anything, we take him at his word and we say, "Forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your blood. Come into my life. Make me white as snow." And then you receive. "Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm in John 30. No, John 20. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." An infallible proof is something God does to show to you his wonderful, wonderful nature. Now think about this. You cannot have too many infallible proofs. He rewards those who diligently seek him. You know what? I'm going to grab another verse. That was my last verse. This is my last verse plus. This is a bonus. John 14. And let's do 10. Through 14. John 10 through 14. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does these works. The Father dwells in you. The Father dwells in me. Jesus and the Holy Spirit dwells in you and me." Therefore, infallible proofs should be a continual part of our life. 11. "Believe me that I'm in the Father, Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." What is it? Infallible proofs. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I, Jesus, do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." If you ask God to go hurt somebody, that ain't going to happen. This in all actuality, is one of the most powerful sets of verses in the New Testament. Next to being born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. Anything. Yeah? Even the things. Book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, the Holy Spirit was speaking through Peter, and he said that God has given unto us all things that pertain, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and all things that pertain to godliness, not only, but also. You get them both because you walk with God every day. Now, we studied this generation shall not pass away, and now we've studied infallible proofs. What a night of revelation from the wonderful presence of Almighty God. What a night of revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Now, we're going to pray, and then we're going to receive communion together. I know that this message truly touched you, because there's a bunch of you, I can tell, that are saying, are you sure, preacher, that I can ask God to just let him reveal himself to me? I am so sure. I am so sure. And I'll pray with you right now. So just pray with you. Father, you pray there at your home. Pray a prayer that ministers to you, and I'll pray here. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that every person within the sound of my voice will get a revelation of who you are inside of them. Every single person within the sound of my voice will realize that you, Holy Spirit, live in them. And it's a pleasure to live inside of them. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Reveal yourself to them in a powerful manner now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. God bless all of you that's with us on. God bless all of you that's been with us here on Zoom. Bless all of you that will be with us on Facebook over there and Blog Talk Radio, any other places where we are, we bless you and we're glad to have you with us. Now, one of the most amazing infallible proofs is communion. Passover started in Exodus chapter 12 with the children of Israel being in slaves and bondage. And that was Passover. And it came all the way to Jesus in Luke chapter 22 in the last night. How he told them, I have great desire to receive this last Passover with you. And Jesus knew that it would be the last Passover that would ever be necessary. And he wanted to participate with his disciples. And so you and I are receiving communion tonight. And we're going to do it in the manner that God has assigned us to do it here. And it'll be different from anything you've seen, probably. But here's the reality of it. It's his assignment to us. And therefore, since you're with us, it is going to minister life to you like you've never known before. Don't just take bread and crackers. Don't do that. Receive the communion elements and all of their power and all of their authority and all of their strength. And it'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. I get me a cracker, and I get me one of these soup crackers. They're the fastest thing that disintegrates in my mouth so that I'm not choking on crumbs when I'm still trying to minister. And then I go down to the local store, even a convenience store, and I get me one of these powerful, powerful communion cups. Though your sins were red like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus to it. Thank you, Solo, that you created it just for us to use for a communion cup in the mighty name of Jesus. It's really cool because you can buy them by the 10-pack and take them home and always have more than enough available for anybody who stops by your house that is a child of God. Make sure you receive communion with them. Pray the prayer of salvation and lead them to the things of God in Jesus' name. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to read the verses right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we get finished with that, we'll pray the prayer of salvation so that anybody that's with us will be able to find God and know God. And then after that, I'll give you a couple minutes of instruction, and then we will bless the bread and eat it, bless the fruit of the vine. That's our process tonight. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then, in the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. There's the assignment. Examine yourself, and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Why? Because if we would judge ourselves, if somebody else judge ourselves, then we would not be judged in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, verse 31, First John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in God's perfect love. In Jesus' mighty name. We're so glad to have you with us. And we're getting ready to pray the prayer of salvation right now. So I encourage you right now to everyone to pray this prayer. It's very simple. It's very powerful. I may have changed the prayer since the last time you prayed it. You may have prayed this prayer with me 1,000 times. Some of these people have prayed this prayer with me 1,000 times. It doesn't matter. It's still powerful. It still comes from our heart. We still mean every word that we say so that we can be blessed by the things of God. Oh, that's right. I got it right here, and I'm supposed to be putting it up. It'll be all right. We got it. Happens real quick. We no longer have to wonder what to do. We know what to do. Here we go. Oh, come on now. Isn't that something? Pray this prayer. Pray this prayer with me. Trying to get this screen to come down here and cover all this. There we go. Pray this prayer right out loud. Those of you that's joined me on Zoom, you can turn your mic on and pray with us. That'd be good. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and your mercy, all of your love and your righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. We're glad to have you here with us. We are glad that you have chosen to walk with God with us. Why? It makes for a powerful time in the things of God. We want you to know that you are welcome to partake in any part of the things of God that we do right here. It's amazing. You're just brand new, born again, and you're already getting to take the communion elements. But see, once you're a part of the body of Christ, as soon as you're somewhere where people are receiving the communion elements, then you're a member of the body of Christ. And when the body of Christ is shared, then you get to be a part of it in Jesus' name. What just happened to me, Pastor? Well, what happened is God Almighty just came to live on the inside of you. And all of his power, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit have now made their abode on the inside of you. It's right there in John chapter 14, verses 21, 23, and 27. God Almighty has come and made his abode inside of you. And that's so much bigger than just walking an aisle, praying a prayer, becoming a member of a church. That's not what it's about. This is about God Almighty just became at peace with you because we claim the blood of Jesus and his righteousness that goes with it. And that's a wonderful thing. You might say, Pastor, how in the world do I live for God now? Where's the rules? The rule you need is this. Get you a Bible. I like the Thompson Chain Reference Bible because it has so many cross references of verses. I meet many religious people, like many. Let me say that a little differently. I meet very many religious people who do not know their Bible at all. They don't. They have stories. Somebody told them it was in the Bible, but it's not in the Bible. And so I want you to know your Bible. The power of the Thompson Chain gives you the ability to see it in Genesis and Exodus, Revelation and Psalms and Proverbs and the prophets and the Gospels. It's actually a pretty simple Bible. Once you get it, open it up and actually take a look at it. It's a pretty simple Bible. When you get it, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. Why? That's the beginning of the church. That is the teachings of Jesus and the beginning of the church. Jesus is actually still operating under the Old Testament because the new covenant didn't begin until he said it's finished and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Jesus' blood had been shed. That's when the new covenant actually began. But anyways, it'll help you see who Jesus is and your place in the kingdom. And then click like, subscribe, and hit the bell and be a part of our program with us. And we'll be a blessing. It's really cool. And in the business world, you got to go from K through 12 and then college after that, 1 through 4. And then grad school, if you're going there, 5 through 7. And then a doctorate degree, 7 through 10. And you got to start at the beginning. But in the kingdom of God, the place where you start is where you are. And it's coming. On any service, the Holy Spirit of God is going to minister to you on the inside. And you're going to begin to get the revelation of what we're talking about. And grab some verses, study them, memorize them, speak them. And they'll be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name. My email address is in there. Send me an email. I'm working hard to get connected. You guys have been watching. Oki Larsi from Sweden is trying to get connected to us. I thought I had Skype, but I don't even think I have Skype. I don't even know if Skype still exists, but we will be a blessing to you in one way or another. Remember, when you talk to us, we're going to give you an answer that comes from the Word of God. And therefore, that's going to be verses of Scripture and probably a message that you can study about that topic that'll speak it over and over and over. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus, by the name. Grab your elements, lift them up, and let's pray our prayer together. First, we're going to bless our elements, and then we will receive the bread and then receive the fruit of the vine. Here we go. All you guys that are with us online, you're welcome on Zoom. Turn your mics on and come and say this with us. Whoops. Guess I better get back there. Share the screen. Nope. Number one. 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 Here we go. Get these words clear up here to the top. Are you ready? There we go. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing. There is nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the broken body of Jesus together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and are set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank you. And now, pray this with me. I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no more condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. Hold on. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive the fruit of the vine together. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, Jesus. Jesus said on the first day after when he was there in the garden, when he was at there and he was taking the Passover supper with them, he said, this is my body that was broken for you. And when his body was broken, he made a way for you to be a member of the body of Christ. He made a way. It opened it up. And then not only are you able to be the body of Christ and be in it, but now you get to function as the body of Christ right here on this earth. That is what you and I are doing here every single day. We're functioning as the body of Christ on this earth. And that's why in 1 John it says, as he is, so are we in this world right here. And thank God for that. You know, what an amazing thing that we are his hands and we are his feet right here on this earth in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Here we go. Let's read our closing verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. Phyllis, you got those verses? Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. All right. We'll read it here then. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love that. I'm going to read that again, 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations ever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. Now, our last set of verses, and I've been speaking this, and I pray that you're catching the revelation. If you haven't got the revelation of this, spend the next couple days and get this revelation. You got to get this revelation for your life, for your family's life, and for anybody that you meet.
Let me apologize to you because I did not realize that I was muted and I was reading and you didn't hear me because I was muted.
Okay. All right.
I just want you to know I didn't refuse to read.
It's all right. I don't ever know. You know, we don't ever know, and it's just how it works here. If nobody said something, then a couple seconds, and we'll go ahead and go because somebody might have something walked in or the dog barking or who knows what goes on. But it's all right. Thanks.
Well, I enjoyed hearing you read it, but I just wanted you to know I would have.
All right.
All right. In fact, I was doing so, but I was muted. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bless you, Phyllis. For God may speak in one way or another. I'm in Job 33:14. And yet man does not perceive it. This is one of those statements that you got to realize what Job, now think about this. This is Job. This is post the flood, but pre-Abraham. He's in that period of time between Noah and Abraham. Job says, God may speak in one way or another, and you may not be able to perceive it. You may not be getting it out in here. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, that means while you're sleeping, you're slumbering on your bed. Then he, God, that's capital he. Look in your Bible, Job 33:16. He opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in them. Now, it doesn't say in them here, but you can literally say it, in them. In order to turn man from his deed, conceal pride from man, and he keeps back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. Verse 25. His flesh shall be young like a child, and he shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he, God, will delight in him, man. And he shall see his face with joy, for he, God, restores to man his, God's, righteousness in our life. In Jesus' mighty name, pray that all your children have a dream and a vision and a revelation of Almighty God tonight while they're sleeping. In Jesus' mighty name, until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. And he is showing you infallible proofs now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
God bless you.
And amen. And amen. Now, sister.